very appropriate. Today's reading is Ruth, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, on page 222 of the Pew Writings. Ruth 2, 1 to 13, page 222. Now Naomi, Ruth's mother, had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And Naomi said to Ruth, "Go, my daughter." So Ruth set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. Ruth said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young woman. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, and bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to me, to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." Word of the Lord.
So today we continue our study through Ruth. If you've been here the past 2 weeks, the news has not been so great for Ruth, for Naomi. Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion died. They were left with little hope of livelihood, of ability to make money, to survive. And even in spite of that, Ruth chose last week to continue with Naomi. And we were left with kind of the question, what will happen? How will they survive? Thankfully, we begin to get a glimpse of that answer today. So let's pause and pray as we ask for the Lord's help. Lord, we pray that you would just speak through your word today. Help us to see your loving kindness and your sovereign hand. For your name's sake, we do pray. Amen. So if I asked you, what are you thankful for? Here's a hint, in a few minutes I'm going to be asking you, what are you thankful for? So be thinking. What would you say? Would you notice the small things, or would you only point to some of the big buckets of life? When you wake up in the morning, do you notice that you flip the light switch and light comes on? When you turn on the water faucet and water comes out? If you have a car, when you go to the gas station, there's a pump that has gas. I have friends that are missionaries all over the world, and those things aren't always guaranteed. But do we notice those small things each day? The small evidences of grace that God has given to us, that's just a common grace for all people that live in this country. Do we pause and notice these small ways that God is sovereignly caring for us? And why do I say that? Today we come to a passage and you don't see anything extraordinary. Unless you see that God is the hand behind all of this, then you say, this is miraculous. It seems very normal. And yet, we see God is working in the midst of it. And so, my question as we consider this today, are we noticing God's working hand, His sovereign hand, in the ordinary things of life? And so, our big idea, if you get nothing else, I hope you get this. As Christians, we seek God's favor under the refuge of His wings. A beautiful picture in the scriptures. Under the refuge of His wings, like a baby bird going beneath the wings of a mother. As Christians, we seek God's favor, His blessing, His kindness, His loving kindness under the refuge of His wings, under His sovereign care. And we see that today. And we see it in three unfolding realities. And I use the word unfolding realities on purpose because you see this picture of Ruth. She's like, okay, I think I'll go into the field and hope that I find favor. Oh, and then she finds the favor of Boaz. And then you see this kind of realization of that she's a recipient of the very favor of God. And so, unfolding realities today as we look at this. So first, we see Ruth seeks favor in the fields. Ruth seeks favor in the fields. This is verses 1 through 7. If you remember last week, we ended with Ruth refusing to go back to her people, her land, and her gods. And she says, I will follow Naomi, and Naomi's God, the one true God, Yahweh. And the story ended last week with, this was at the beginning of the barley harvest when they returned to Bethlehem. And so now we pick up in the middle of the barley harvest. And it starts in a rather strange way. I would say a rather unexpected way. Because all of a sudden a new character enters the picture. It says, now Naomi had a relative of her husband's. A worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And for us, we read that and we probably think nothing of it. We're like, okay, cool, relative. Just so you know, the Old Testament readers, the Jewish people, they would have read this and they would have said, this is important. A relative is in the picture. I wonder what role he'll have in the rest of the story. And I'm not going to tell the rest of the story until we get there, but just remember this name. He's identifying an important person for the rest of the story. A relative of this dead father-in-law, Ruth, Elimelech. And this person's name is Boaz. And then, in verse 2, it says, and Ruth the Moabite. Notice last week I said it's like a drum that the author beats in this. The foreigner, the Moabite, the outsider. To prove a point, she was not supposed to be treated well. It was oftentimes that they were treated poorly as outsiders by people. It was oftentimes that they were treated with arm's length at best. But I want you to notice God's loving kindness to a foreigner, to an outsider that had come to seek refuge beneath the wings of God, Yahweh, the one true God. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor. She says, can I just go to the fields and see if I have any luck getting some food? And for us, we may say, okay, that sounds nice, but how would this be possible? If you're needing some riveting reading this afternoon, you can go to Leviticus 19 and Deuteronomy 24 and read about the laws of how to treat widows and foreigners. But the law actually allowed for this idea. When they went through the fields, whatever they dropped, they were called to leave it there for the orphan, the widow, and the foreigner. And so when she says, can I go glean? She's saying, can I go fulfill my legal right to try to collect some food. But it's important to note what she says. After him in whose sight I shall find favor. Well, if this was a legal right, then you would expect that everyone would do this. Well, not all of us follow the speed limit laws, do we? In the same way, I'm sure there were many that did not follow these laws as they should. They were worried about making a few more bucks, a few more dollars in their bank account. And so she said, may I go and glean, and maybe I'll find favor, the Lord's kindness from a person. And Naomi said to her, go, my daughter. So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. Remember this relative of Elimelech? She just happened upon this field. And for us, we may read it and say, yes, that's great happenstance. That's great chance that this happened. But do we actually zoom out and understand that this is actually God's sovereign hand? She said, I will go and hopefully I'll find favor in someone's field. And she just happens into one of her relatives' fields. But we don't know what kind of person this Boaz is. We know nothing about him other than he's a relative. We don't know how he will treat her, how he will understand, if he will understand who she is and what she does and why she needs this food. But she came to this section and was gleaning, fulfilling her legal right. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And he said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless you. Now this would have been a fairly common saying in this day, many scholars believe, but that doesn't mean everybody used it with meaning and purpose. And it seemed that every day when Boaz came, he said this to them. Identifying himself as a God-fearing man, a man that was seeking after Yahweh, seeking to serve God in a faithful way. So he shows up, and the first thing you hear from him is, the Lord be with you. Is that how we approach our lives? With just the saltiness of Christ in a way that stands out and is distinct? Because I'm sure it's the people that work for him, they probably learned, man, this guy really means this. Every day he comes and he says, the Lord be with you. And they learn to say in response, the Lord bless you. And then Boaz said to his young woman, who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? And in many ways, he's asking the question, where's this woman's husband? Who is this woman? What is she doing here? And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, she's the young Moabite woman. Oh, she's that outsider. Legally, she's allowed to do this, so we're letting her do it, as we know you would, basically, is what they're saying. She's the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She's the outsider. That's who she is. A nameless person. That lady that's the outsider. And maybe at some point you felt that way. Having lived in another country, I felt that way from time to time. And you just want to be seen, you want to be heard, you want to be valued, you want to be noticed. But notice Boaz's response. Notice how Boaz reaches into this situation. He could have said, all right, cool, move on with this day, right? But that's not what happens. It tells us in verse 7, it says, she said to them, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers. So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. So you also get this picture of a hard worker. So she came and said, can I fulfill my legal right, glean behind you? And they said yes, and she's worked all day other than a short rest. And so she goes to the fields seeking favor of God and an individual, a landowner. She happens upon Boaz's field. And now this second unfolding reality is Ruth finds the favor of Boaz. So let's notice this in verses 8 through 10. Then Boaz said to Ruth, now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or to leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that you are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn. So you've gotten this call and response from Boaz to his workers, but you see no interaction between Boaz and Ruth until this moment. And what is Boaz's first interaction with Ruth? Stay here. Don't go anywhere else. And you may be saying, why would he say that? Well, the reality was, as a widow and as a foreigner, it probably was not always safe in the fields. And if she had happened into the wrong field, there could have been any number of things that had gone wrong. And he goes a step further. It's kind of the first written sexual harassment policy. He says, and I've charged my young men not to even touch you, to keep their distance. And for us, we say, duh. But in this day, that would have been such a sigh of relief for her. And so just notice, she's gone to a foreign land, to a foreign people, to seek the refuge under the wing of God. And you begin to see the favor of God shown to her. But there's nothing extraordinary outside of just the kindness of an individual. But the circumstances that led to this conversation, we see God leading by breadcrumbs each step along the way for Ruth. And he goes a step further even beyond that, and he says, and when you're thirsty, drink from my vessels. Even if it was not legally wrong that made them unclean to drink from those vessels, it would have been frowned upon for a foreigner to drink water from the same vessels as a local. So he says, save lots of time by drinking our water rather than going to draw your own water. And you think about this as just kindness upon kindness upon kindness. And notice her response. And there's no way, I just want you guys to know this, I did not plan for this passage to fall on our Sunday of thankfulness. But the Lord did. But notice this. Verse 10, it says, then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? What have I done to deserve this? So she notices the favor of Boaz here. She says, I haven't been treated this way by anybody else. But you have shown me such great kindness. And we could spend a lot of time today just considering how we, as Christians, could model this kind of just general kindness to humanity. And seeing the least of these, the orphan, the widow, the outsider. Well, what a fantastic example that Boaz gives here as a God-fearer, one that seems to exemplify, one that wants to seek God in his ways. So she finds the favor of Boaz. And then now this third unfolding reality is Ruth is actually, we see, is a recipient of the favor of God. While this is not explicitly said in this passage, I hope that you see that this is just the Lord aligning these circumstances to actually take care of Ruth and Naomi. So let's see this in verses 11 through 13. But Boaz answered her. And remember, she said, what have I done to find favor in your eyes? Notice his answer. All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. And how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. Why are you being kind to me? He said, I know who you are and I know what you've done. If this was anybody else, they probably would have had no idea. No idea. But she happened into his field and he knew exactly who she was. And then in verse 12, you see this blessing over her. It's a prayer of blessing over her, and it's just such a beautiful picture. And so basically he's saying, because of this, may the Lord repay you for what you have done. And a full reward be given you take refuge. So ultimately, Boaz understood what she had done by coming to Bethlehem. She had forsaken her family, livelihood, stability, and more than that, the gods of Moab. And he said, "You've come here seeking refuge beneath the wings of Yahweh, the one true God, and may He bless you for that. May you see His kindness and His goodness and His mercy and His grace." If there's any test, I would challenge you to give to God this test, His kindness and mercy and grace and goodness by seeking refuge beneath His wings. But what's interesting here is He says, may the Lord bless you, may the Lord repay you, may the Lord show His kindness to you. And what's interesting is He actually is the one that is bringing the blessing. He is the answer to His very prayer here. So when we pray for people, maybe we should ask the question from time to time, can I be the answer to this prayer? Yeah. But if you imagine all that happened in chapter 1, and the dreariness of death and despair and difficulty and no prospect for livelihood, and now she stumbles into this field and He says, stay here and work with my ladies here, and they'll take care of you. Do we see the Lord's kindness, favor in the fields here? And then she said in verse 13, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. Just a heart of thankfulness here. You know, it's not that she said, duh, of course. She says, wow. And ultimately, there should be a realization for us here that the Lord has aligned these circumstances. And as we zoom out and understand, she had gone to the land of Yahweh, the one true God, seeking His care and kindness, and now she has begun to receive it. But it's important for us to know many things throughout this. She could have sat back and said, I'm going to wait and God's going to provide and done nothing. I'm not sure that's what God asks us to do. She also could have made a 27-point plan and said, okay, forget about God, I've got a plan for myself. And I'm not sure that's what God wants us to do either. But instead, she got up. As Alistair Begg says about this, he says, she got up, washed her face, and did what she could do. While understanding that she's seeking the very favor of God as she went out, seeking care. And so today, I leave us with four application questions before we move into this time of testimonies of thankfulness. The four application questions for us. Have you noticed how Ruth went out to do what she could do while also looking for the favor of God? Do you notice that? Do you do the same? We have a responsibility to serve the Lord and pursue faithfulness and pursue excellence while we also understand the sovereignty of God. And that's a tension all throughout the scriptures. Responsibility of man and the sovereignty of God that both can be present at the same time. Do you do your part while seeking the very favor of God? Second question. Do you treat people with love, care, and respect like Boaz did? Now understand, what I don't want you to read into this is just saying, now let's go and try to be better people and that'll change the world. No, we believe that Jesus Christ changes lives, and that is something we take to the world, and that can transform the world around us. So what I'm saying here is Boaz believed in the promise, he had hope in the promise, and he seems to live in light of that promise of the Messiah to come here. And in the same way for us, because we know that Messiah in Christ. If we're Christians, do you respond to that love in Christ by treating people with love, care, and respect? Third question. When God works in your life, do you notice it and respond like Ruth with thankfulness and appreciation? Or do you say, I was supposed to get this. I deserve this. Or do we say, I don't deserve anything. But I will cast my cares upon the Lord, and I will trust that He will care for me as needed. And the fourth question is, do you actively seek refuge under the wings of God? For Christians, this is something we do daily. We say, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. Do you seek that? If you're here and you're not a Christian, and you say, I don't know anything about the refuge and the wings of God. I don't know what this means, but I'm interested. It sounds enticing. As Christians, we find our hope in the finished work of Jesus Christ, God the Son, and His life, death, and resurrection. If you'd like to hear more about what that means, talk with any of us. I'd be happy to talk with you after the service. But now we get to sing a song before we move into these testimonies of thankfulness. And we get to respond. And I just pray that this helps to fan the flame in our hearts of a heart of thankfulness to the Lord today. For all that He's done and all that He will do in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this time. Lord, we thank You for Your ongoing message of faithfulness throughout Your Scriptures. That we get to see that faithfulness to Ruth through Boaz. Remind our hearts of your faithfulness now. May we respond in thankfulness. For Your name's sake, we do pray. Amen.